No one can keep a secret forever. To friends and neighbors, Michael and Jennifer Blagg have the ideal family.
They look like an advertiser's dream. You know, a good-looking husband and wife and a very cute little child.
Born-again Christians who had this cute little house in a fairly nice area of town where they just seemed to have the perfect life.
But deadly secrets just below the surface threaten this happy family.
They didn't go looking for trouble, and so the secrets that came out were just so much more shocking because of that.
And when the truth is discovered, no one can believe the evil that's lurking in their community.
It was like a black hole trying to come up with some answers here.
Secrets can be life and death. This one certainly was.
Soon, every dirty little secret will be revealed. It's November of 2001 in Grand Junction, Colorado. Michael and Jennifer Blagg's loving, devoutly Christian home is an inspiration to residents of this quiet mountain town.
Everyone thought very highly of them. They were, for all intents and purposes, a model family. I mean, you would want to go look in a dictionary and say there'd be their picture as model nuclear family. There they are.
They seem to be solid and happy and built on a good foundation of trust and faith.
Michael is a devoted husband who got his start in the Navy.
Michael was a military helicopter pilot who was decorated in the Gulf War and an honored veteran who had fought for his country. He was a hero. That was part of his reputation as well.
Now, he has a lucrative career as an engineer.
Michael had kind of a driven personality. He had a very good job. He looked very professional, and he acted the same way. He essentially kind of ruled the roost.
Michael's career success allows Jennifer to be a stay-at-home mom for their daughter, Abby.
Jennifer was a very loving, very kind person who doted on her daughter. She was a very, very good mother. You could tell that because of the way that she treated Abby.
She was a nice lady, outgoing, and people really liked her. She had lots of friends, and we just really enjoyed having her around.
Happier they all who fear the Lord.
A shared faith is the cornerstone of the Blaggs' happy marriage. The deeply religious couple attend church regularly. And together, they generously help other members of the congregation with their prayers.
I haven't come in contact with very many people who we'd call them a prayer warrior, someone that just prays naturally and prays often. Should stop on a dime and pray for you right then and there.
Their faith was very important to them. Both felt a deep connection to God. We spent a lot of hours in prayer with Jennifer and Michael. Our dream was to have people praying around the clock for different needs, things around the world, and people who needed prayer or wanted prayer.
At church and at home, Jennifer and Michael are the picture of quiet strength and steadfast devotion to God. Together, they're much-loved pillars of their community. But on November 13th, 2001, a shocking event tests their faith and threatens to destroy their world. Normally, when Michael returns home from work at the end of the day, Jennifer and Abby are there waiting for him.
Jennifer, are you home?
But on this fateful Tuesday, Michael comes home to an empty house.
He gets home and the back door was standing wide open and he instantly sensed that something was wrong.
Just how wrong becomes clear when Michael's search for his wife and daughter takes him to the master bedroom.
He found their bedroom in disarray. There was a jewelry box on the floor that had been overturned. the contents of Jennifer's purse were sitting out.
Someone must have broken in. It looked like a robbery.
Things were thrown all over the place. There were a lot of things missing, and some of her jewelry was gone.
Most disturbingly, there's no sign of Jennifer or Abby anywhere. But what Michael does find chills him to the core. There's blood everywhere.
He noticed a large amount of blood on their bed that had dripped off the side onto the carpet.
The puddle of blood was so large. There was so much blood. It was just horrible.
Panicked, Michael Blagg calls for help.
I can't find my wife or my child.
Michael got on his cell phone and called 911. It was very frightening to him.
There's blood everywhere.
His family's missing. And there's blood in the house.
Please, please, send somebody quick.
He sounded panicked. He continued to repeat, oh my God, he was very upset.
A distraught Michael tells police he last saw his family that morning, and he hasn't been able to reach Jennifer by phone all day.
He called her multiple times throughout the day, left messages.
Hey, Jen, give my little girl a kiss if you haven't left her. Hey, Jen, it's me again. You must be busy today.
It was kind of unusual for her not to answer the phone.
At first glance, the crime scene suggests a burglary gone wrong. Perhaps Jennifer and Abby had surprised a thief who thought he had the house to himself and didn't want to leave any witnesses alive. But as police continue to inspect the scene, they rule a burglary out. Only the bedroom has been ransacked.
There were pieces of jewelry that were valuable that were left, and the rest of the house seemed to be in pretty good shape. There weren't drawers left open. It was just a pretty clean crime scene with the exception of Michael and Jennifer's room.
Is this the scene of a homicide? If so, where are the bodies?
It was like, why is there blood here, but the people are missing? If somebody robs someone, and is frightened, they kill the person in the house. They don't take them away.
Police worry that they could be dealing with a child abduction. Only 5 years earlier, in another part of Colorado, JonBenet Ramsey went missing and was found dead.
There had been so much on the news with child abduction cases like the JonBenet Ramsey cases and things like that, that I immediately gravitated toward thinking that this had to be somebody who wanted Abby.
If someone snuck into the Blaggs' house to kidnap 6-year-old Abby, maybe Jennifer became collateral damage.
Abby might have been the target that somebody had seen her, wanted to kidnap her, and Jennifer became involved, and that's why the blood in the house.
What I was afraid of was that Jennifer had died protecting Abby.
But if that's the case, where is Jennifer's body? And who would want to kidnap Abby? Has someone specifically targeted the Blaggs? Or is there a predator on the prowl, stealing little girls from their mother's arms?
We didn't know what had happened. There was the possibility that someone was running loose in our community and was capable of attacking other people. Parents were definitely concerned. There were a lot more doors being locked.
I was terrified. I thought if somebody could come into a quiet neighborhood in Grand Junction and take Abby and Jennifer, it could happen anywhere and to anybody. I think a lot of us were afraid.
There were concerns that this wasn't the end. It might have been just the beginning.
Since his home remains an active crime scene, Michael is taken in by his pastor.
Had made him a place to stay in an upstairs bedroom. And he went in there and I went in.
You've got to trust in God.
I don't know what to do. I don't know. You know?
I got down on my knees next to the bed where he was sitting and prayed with him, read to him from the Psalms for a while.
The days tick by without any sign of Michael's missing wife and child. Pastor Art prays with Michael daily and organizes prayer vigils for Jennifer and Abby. A despondent Michael appeals to the public and pleads with whoever took his family to bring them back safely.
I can't find my wife or my child, and I need your help.
Michael's church family absolutely rallied around him when Jennifer and Abby were found. They appeared in public with him. They were at press conferences where he was begging for their return.
If you know anything, please just help me.
They absolutely stood by him because he and Jennifer and Abby were so well liked within their church.
But days pass, and the community's prayers appear to go unanswered. None of Jennifer's stolen jewelry turns up at any local pawn shops. And there's no contact from an abductor, leading investigators to suspect that if someone has killed Jennifer and taken Abby, it's not to hold her for ransom.
She was gone. You know, where was she? Had they kidnapped her? Had she been killed? Was she dead? Had someone sold her? What happened to poor Abby? We didn't know.
Michael and Jennifer are beloved in town, and because they have no enemies, there are no immediate suspects. With no witnesses either, police turn the Blagg house inside out. But no clues turn up until they search Michael's computer. And there they make a distressing discovery. Dangerous secrets appear to be lurking beneath this family's pious facade.
Here's this seemingly idyllic family where it wasn't everything as it appeared on the surface.
You are gonna...
Absolutely.
Jennifer Blagg and her daughter Abby have gone missing in what looks to be a violent abduction. But after scouring the Blagg home for clues, a search of Michael Blagg's computer has turned up something truly shocking.
They found a great deal of pornographic material on his computers. I was dumbstruck, I gotta tell you.
The seemingly virtuous man of faith has amassed a mountainous secret stockpile of digital porn.
They found a ton of pornography on there, an inordinate amount of pornography, and I just had this rock in my stomach.
Could Michael Blagg really be addicted to porn? It doesn't fit the character of the man friends and fellow parishioners have come to know.
That was a huge shocker, that someone who held himself up to this higher standard of being a good born-again Christian would be indulging in adult hardcore pornography. It was absolutely startling to the people who knew him and his church and the community in general.
As a Christian, we don't view pornography as something that's acceptable. Things of a sexual nature should be kept within the bounds of marriage. Lust is not a good thing. It's not something that's healthy. It can lead you to places that you don't want to go. God gave us sex as something to be enjoyed, but it can also be something that's very dangerous if it's not handled correctly. It's something that can be very beautiful when it's kept within the confines of marriage. As a Christian, I don't believe I need to look at naked men who aren't my husband. It's just not something that's necessary.
Jesus talks about how if you look on a woman, not your wife, to lust after her, it's the same as if you slept with her. And that is the essence of pornography.
The police were surprised. He'd been portraying himself as being a religious, straight arrow guy. Suddenly, here he was found to be looking at all these porn sites.
Could Michael's dirty little secret be connected to his wife and daughter's disappearance? Certainly, if word of his shameful hobby got out, it would ruin his reputation and jeopardize his standing in his church.
And I will tell you, the Bible is very clear about it. It is a sin, period. No further discussion. It's wrong. We would have had to do something about it.
Had that come out, he would not have been held up as the model citizen that he was. It would have absolutely ruined his reputation in the community.
This is the person who has put himself out as a leader of morality, of spirituality. If it's revealed to the church that he's just not who he says he is, then his whole world is over.
Police question Michael about the pornography.
We went through your computer and found a large collection of pornography.
But he surprises them by saying his collection is no secret. Jennifer knows all about it.
You know, it's not like I was, you know, going behind her back.
More than that, she's okay with it. In fact, he says she's watched porn with him many times.
Me and Jennifer would watch it together.
He explained it as something that they both enjoyed and something that they took part in.
I think maybe he was looking for some satisfaction in that arena. And she says, if you're gonna do this, we should do this together.
This is what we did to spend time together.
It hardly seems to police like behavior a religious woman like Jennifer would approve of. But she and Michael certainly wouldn't be the first married couple to have their secrets.
Marriages are sometimes the most secretive of all relationships because you never know what goes on behind closed doors. You really don't know the nature of that relationship. What is on the outside is not necessarily what's happening on the inside of a marriage.
Michael explains to detectives that there's a valid reason why he and his wife view pornography.
What do you guys need to understand is that
she has a medical problem. Jennifer has been experiencing pain during intercourse, so the couple took to the internet as a new way to be intimate.
She had had a surgery that made sex difficult for them, and he was researching additional things that they could do to help satisfy their marriage.
They had to be creative, as he put it. So she watched as well as he did.
It looks completely plausible, but a good investigator would give pause and would want to check to make sure that, in fact, he's telling the truth here.
Jennifer's friends are skeptical. They say the God-fearing mother they know wouldn't tolerate, much less participate in, her husband's secret porn obsession.
I do not believe that Jennifer would have ever condoned using pornography.
She wanted to live a life of a pure Christian woman. She would never, never, ever, ever, ever have agreed to it.
Jennifer Black.
But Jennifer's doctor confirms Michael's story.
A hysterectomy, hormone treatments.
Jennifer was experiencing pain during intimacy due to a hysterectomy following a difficult pregnancy.
Substantial intimacy issues after a hysterectomy.
Michael's reputation in his church is unimpeachable. If his and Jennifer's porn viewing is a consensual activity shared by husband and wife, it seems Michael is guilty of nothing but wanting to keep his private life private.
It was really nobody's business. You know, that maybe they've been watching this together.
The investigators, I'm sure, thought, yeah, this is exactly what he claims it to be.
Michael's dirty porn secret may be just that. It might have nothing to do with his family's disappearance. But then, Jennifer's doctor drops a bombshell.
And I've seen her quite frequently.
He reveals to police that sexual issues aren't Jennifer Blagg's only secret.
You know, she's a very sick woman in many ways.
And what he has to say will make detectives rethink their entire investigation.
From the outside, it looked just very normal and sweet. but there was a lot going on there. Jennifer had her own secrets. And in a way, the one they hurt the most was Jennifer.
I can't take it anymore.
Secret rage, hidden fear, and a marriage on the brink.
I can't go home.
I think it's when we begin hiding things that the damage occurs. Secrets can be life and death. This one certainly was.
Michael Blagg's wife and young daughter have disappeared, and no one seems to have any answers. But what police learn from Jennifer's doctor changes the entire tenor of their investigation.
I would describe her emotional state as fragile.
The doctor reveals that at the time of her disappearance, Jennifer was taking medication for emotional and mental disorders.
She's on a cocktail of antidepressants.
Jennifer was not in good health. She was extremely depressed. Her hormonal fluctuation was all over the map. It was very, very strong and almost dangerous.
She always struggled emotionally.
Michael confirms to detectives that Jennifer has been struggling with depression and eating disorders for much of their marriage.
Jennifer had some self-image problems. She had struggled with anorexia and bulimia briefly as she was growing up, and she never was, in her own eyes, good enough, pretty enough, thin enough. She was never enough.
It seemed to go on quite a long time. On the outside, Jennifer had this very smooth exterior of everything's fine, I'll handle it. But inside, she was battling depression quite a bit. It was kind of like she could never reach the mark she'd kind of made for herself. It was almost too high to attain.
And Michael confesses that his wife's emotional turmoil isn't limited to depression.
God, you're driving me absolutely crazy.
Jennifer also has a history of rage.
Jennifer did struggle with anger. She was a very passionate person. And part of being passionate is you feel some of the negative emotions as much as the positive ones. And so the anger did come into play.
It's so frustrating. Why won't you be a man?
Michael insists that Jennifer has gotten her anger under control in recent years because she turned that issue in her life over to God.
Jennifer would say, I'm leaving for now, just to calm down. And she would come back and then things would be fine, but she had to remove herself from the scene. She would pray about it and look at different scriptures and that kind of thing, trying to find some kind of solution.
She needed that support, and God was there to give it to her.
But police begin to wonder if Jennifer's emotional problems are more severe than Michael is letting on. If her anger had finally gotten the better of her, perhaps Jennifer isn't a victim after all. Perhaps she's a murderer. Police wonder if Jennifer could have possibly succumbed to her demons, hurt her own daughter, and then fled.
Depression can look like a lot of different things. In your own mind, you can twist your feelings to thinking that you're not a good enough mother, and so that would cause you to withdraw from your child.
Abby had a lot of energy, and even though she was a good kid, she was almost too much for Jennifer to handle at times. It did wear Jennifer down to try to keep up with Abby.
Police consider the possibility. But soon their crime lab reveals that the blood on the Blaggs' bed is a match only for Jennifer, not Abby. And Jennifer's friends tell investigators they find it unimaginable that the quiet, deeply religious woman so devoted to her church and her family could be capable of hurting her own child.
Jennifer and Abby didn't have anything but a really loving mother-daughter relationship.
obviously mothers can snap and can be frustrated with their children, but you never got that sense from anyone that Abby would have been frustrating to that point.
Investigators redouble their efforts. They distribute images of Jennifer throughout neighboring towns, hoping someone will spot her and come forward. There are no sightings, but the pictures do produce a lead, one that leaves detectives stunned.
This woman came into my office.
Police are approached by a woman who works for a state agency that offers free legal advice. The caseworker tells police that just a few weeks before Jennifer and Abby disappeared, a mother and her daughter came to see her.
Please, can you help me?
She was shaken up, hysterical crying.
The mother was terrified and wouldn't give her name.
And she was saying that she was afraid for her life.
She said her husband was abusing her.
I can't go home.
The woman was very frightened and said, I need help. I want to get a divorce, but I'm very scared.
And she demanded to see a lawyer.
The woman said some things that were really disheartening and sad to hear about her relationship.
I have nowhere else to go.
She alluded to, I can't take this abuse anymore. And whether that was physical or mental abuse, it's unclear. But she definitely alluded to the fact that she was being mistreated.
But we were all booked up.
When she was told that she wouldn't be able to see a lawyer about a divorce that day, the woman grew distraught and quickly left.
I have to go.
There wasn't anyone available. She left scared and upset and never returned.
She didn't say who she was or where she lived, and she didn't want to leave a phone number, and she just had this look about her that she was very afraid of something might happen.
The caseworker tells police she just saw Jennifer's and Abby's pictures and is certain the terrified woman who had come to her office was Jennifer Blagg.
There's no doubt in my mind that it was her. Everything's gonna be okay.
She remembered Jennifer was scared to death.
I need someone's help. I have nowhere else to go.
She was basically ready to move forward with a divorce because she was so desperate to get out of her marriage to Michael.
Please, I have a daughter.
That doesn't paint a very pretty picture of what Jennifer was actually living in.
Were Jennifer's worst fears realized when she returned home? Or, police ask themselves, is it possible that Jennifer has staged her own murder and fled with her daughter? What's been going on inside the Blaggs' home? A secret double life emerges from the shadows.
He was not who he claimed to be and was doing things that would never have been sanctioned by his church, would never have been sanctioned by his religion.
When investigators hear rumors of abuse in the Blagg home, it leaves them wondering if Jennifer has run away with her daughter or if Michael Blagg is hiding more than just his pornography collection.
He was supposed to be this clean-cut guy. The police were surprised, and it brought a new shading to who Michael might have really been.
Police want to know what secrets this devout Christian man is hiding under his religious facade. They're beginning to doubt that he's truly the upstanding, grieving husband he appears to be.
You're not trying. I just came home. There's no dinner.
His credibility is really being affected, and that is going to suggest to the investigators that they need to hone in on him at this point.
Investigators put the word out that they're digging into Michael's behavior at home.
I am in charge here. This is my house.
Soon, church friends start to come forward, and the stories they have to tell don't seem to fit the profile of the deeply religious community leader. They tell police they're beginning to doubt Michael's sincerity because he appears to be getting less and less upset about the apparent loss of his family.
I don't see why anyone would act that way.
Michael did not act like the grieving husband very much. It's kind of like, why isn't he out there looking for his wife and missing daughter?
He didn't seem to be hugely concerned about where they were. He wasn't out searching for them. It just didn't seem to fit quite right.
I think he was putting on an act. I believe that he was faking his grief and his misery for the camera as well as for the public in general. It was a facade. He just didn't really have that much interest in it.
Perhaps the stress of his family's disappearance has just taken its toll on Michael. But police get an anonymous phone call from someone who doesn't think so.
I just want to let you know that he's not the kind of wholesome guy that people may think he is.
The woman on the other end of the line tells them that Michael's incriminating behavior goes far beyond what they know so far. She says the man they think is an upstanding Christian husband has a habit of indulging in some very unholy activities. Like visiting an escort service.
The police really got a bombshell one day. A young woman phoned in and said she knew Michael had gone to an escort service because she had serviced him.
The woman tells police that Michael uses the service 2 or 3 times a month to receive erotic massages.
She said that Michael was a customer of hers at her escort service and that he would show up usually on his lunch break to get these massages.
He was a regular customer and had been for well over 6 months or a year. It was not he had stopped by once or twice to see what it was all about. This was a regular occurrence.
And that isn't all. She tells investigators that Michael offers money to women at the parlor in exchange for intercourse and other sex acts.
He was trying to get things that are illegal from the women that he contacted through this escort service.
It's a stunning revelation, and one that only points the finger of suspicion more directly at Michael Blagg.
Police were becoming less and less surprised at what Michael might do. They already knew about the porno images on this computer. And now this just kind of bolstered that.
Detectives have to wonder, had Jennifer discovered her husband's perverse lunchtime activity? If she had, and had threatened to reveal all his secrets to their congregation, could it have driven Michael to murder?
Sick and tired of the lying and the cheating.
Things like hardcore pornography, showing up at an escort service, getting topless massages, are not something that a devout man of God would have been happy for people to know about. Michael would have been utterly unseated in his position in the community. I would imagine some of his congregation would have turned their backs on him.
There's not one thing about you that I can trust.
If Jennifer was beginning to put her foot down and disallow that kind of behavior and stand up for herself in the home, that would make perfect sense. It would also be very dangerous.
I can't take it anymore, Mike. You're driving me crazy.
And this would lead investigators to think, wow, not only is this guy a fraud, not only does he have secrets up the wazoo that he's not telling anybody, but here's a person that could be very desperate. And someone who is desperate may do desperate things to get themselves out of that predicament.
Detectives confront Michael about the allegations, demanding to know if Jennifer found out about his secret sexual appetites. If she had, could it have driven him to murder?
This is not right. You're accusing me of things that I have no idea about.
But he insists he would never hurt his wife or his daughter. After 10 hours of questioning, police don't make a single inroad.
He very proudly proclaimed to law enforcement over and over again, my life is an open book. You can investigate all you want.
Still, they're more convinced than ever that this God-fearing man is a devil in disguise.
All of Michael's explanations, they were like building blocks that never kind of came together. On the surface, they look like they might make sense, but when you put the various pieces together, they never quite fit. He had all these secret things going on. And it's kind of like, what else?
But with no bodies or physical evidence tying him to his wife and daughter's disappearance, investigators fear Michael Black may get away with murder. Until Jennifer's own words bring her killer to justice.
It was a complete shocker, I think, not only to their church and the people they knew there, but to the community in general.
When you cover up that lie with another lie, then you have to cover up that lie. So the truth is buried somewhere deep down inside of all of that.
Detectives are convinced Christian community leader Michael Blagg's shameful sexual secrets are somehow connected to his wife and daughter's disappearance.
These sexual activities look a little suspicious.
But now they have to prove it. They go back through the evidence, hunting for signs that Jennifer had threatened to reveal her husband's filthy secrets. And they find something they had previously overlooked, a letter Michael had written to Jennifer. In it, he apologizes for his mistakes and tells her that he's sorry for letting the devil get a foothold.
In some Christian religious groups, giving the devil a foothold was letting the devil make you do things you were not supposed to do, such as porno sites, escort services, stealing, whatever.
I referenced that they'd had a fight.
You're gonna have to make some changes. What is the church gonna say, Mike?
And that he didn't want it to drive a wedge between them, and he wanted to talk to her.
They also find a note scribbled in Jennifer's diary, dated just a few days before she and Abby disappeared, indicating she'd had a particularly intense quarrel with Michael.
Sit here and cry.
Jennifer kept a journal. A lot of it was about her aspects with God and her prayers. But they also found out that she'd had a very serious argument with Michael, and she underlined very.
Had Jennifer confronted Michael about his philandering?
You and your cheating and your lying, sick and tired of the lying, Mike.
Was that the mistake that provoked their very serious argument?
We're not in charge.
The police were beginning to believe that Jennifer knew about these addictions and was becoming more and more frustrated about them.
She had confronted him with his infidelities. A loving, caring husband would not be involved with an escort service while the relationship with the wife was going on.
Investigators are convinced Jennifer was disgusted enough to leave her husband. Their theory is that she had threatened to divorce him and that she had indeed sought out the caseworker at a state agency to try to get the process started immediately.
I need to speak to a lawyer now.
But that decision may have cost Jennifer her life. Michael must have realized that if she left him, all his dirty secrets would come out in a divorce, and his standing in his parish would be destroyed.
Michael was a sex addict. Jennifer wanted to leave him, take Abby with her, and he couldn't take that. If Jennifer left, she could tell all his secrets, and that was too much to handle. He'd set the bar so high about his reputation that he couldn't recover it. He couldn't stand the shame of what had been found out.
He had a lot of pride and liked to be in control, and was very concerned about what would happen if his addiction to pornography came out, or if the fact that he'd been visiting escort services came out, public opinion would have changed toward him, and he was scared.
Scared and angry enough to kill his wife and daughter. Investigators now have their motive. They believe Michael killed his family and disposed of them sometime before leaving for work the day they vanished, so that he could return home later and report them missing. But they still lack the evidence to put Michael behind bars. So police alert the community that they're no longer looking for a pair of missing persons. They're looking for the bodies of Jennifer and Abby Blagg. And when they hear that Michael Blagg is now the prime suspect in a double murder, some of his co-workers come forward with a startling piece of information. They recall seeing Michael pushing two large cardboard boxes into a dumpster the day Jennifer and Abby went missing.
Michael was pushing what appeared to be heavy boxes.
He was loading some really heavy boxes, and he would not allow anybody to help him.
Asked him if he needed help, and he refused.
He was very out of character, angry, and basically telling everybody to back off and leave him alone.
Police suspect Michael was dumping the bodies of his wife and daughter, having killed them earlier that morning. And 7 months after they disappeared, those suspicions are sadly confirmed. Jennifer's body is found in the local landfill, surrounded by garbage from Michael's office. It looks to police as if Michael killed Jennifer in her sleep.
Jennifer wore a retainer when she was sleeping. When Jennifer's body was found with her body. Jennifer was shot at point-blank range. They found a bullet in her skull, so presumably she had been killed while she was asleep. She never got up that morning.
The body of the Blagg's daughter, Abby, is never found. Detectives believe Michael killed her to keep her quiet about her mother's murder.
And I wonder where her daughter is. I'd give anything to know, so would a lot of other people.
My supposition on that is that she's out there where Jennifer was. And she probably was deteriorated before they found Jennifer.
Michael Blagg is arrested and convicted of first-degree murder in the death of Jennifer Blagg. He never admits guilt or shows any remorse for killing his wife or his daughter, Abby.
He still says he's innocent. I don't think Michael will ever tell anyone what happened to Abby. I don't think we will know.
It's a pretty horrible thing to do to people, especially people that you supposedly love. Michael was a very dangerous person, and he was even more dangerous because he managed to convince the community that he was a good person.
Here's this father who turned on his own family in an effort to hide his wrongs, his sins, and to protect his reputation. And an innocent woman and an innocent child died because of that.
Michael Blagg's holy exterior masked a deeply troubled soul, willing to do anything to conceal his secrets. Secrets that ultimately turned a saint into a sinner.
The fact that he felt like he had to keep the secrets in the first place, that's the tragedy. There were so many people who would have been willing to help. Some people are willing to destroy everything rather than have their secrets known.